If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Coming to you live from the Better Way Conference in Bath, United Kingdom. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio. Speaking on the issues that impact, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to TNT, today's news talk. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen. We are streaming out live globally, live and direct. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And a big thank you to everybody in the TNT chat room. I see you guys piling in there. It's nice. Get in the TNT chat room if you're not already there. I see a lot of people listening, but they haven't logged in to the chat room. We got to do something about that, guys. But we're on location. We're in studio. We are in Bath, in the most beautiful city in England, arguably. And we're at the Better Way Conference in Bath. And I'm joined straight off on the hour with a couple of friends, some colleagues as well, some partners in crime. I'm here with Mike Ryan from TNT Radio. Mike, live and in the flesh.
Well, actually, it's wrinkly from flesh. Yes, I am here, though. And what a fantastic place to have a conference convention. And it's just amazing. And to be with you, Patrick, is even more amazing.
I'm feeling the vibe. I'm feeling the vibe as well. We're also joined by Gemma Cooper here with the Better Way Conference and the World Council for Health.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the World Council for Health is one of the main sponsors and backers behind the Better Way Conference. And along with many people who've backed us and supported this amazing event. And as you rightly say, Patrick, in the absolutely beautiful city of Bath, I mean, Bath itself, it's almost an irony, actually. The sun shines on the righteous and the sun is out outside. We're in a World Heritage site. It looks absolutely stunning. And we're going to be in a conference venue for most of the weekend in the dark. But I mean, I would urge everybody coming, because we have sold out in person, to explore Bath as much as you can, because it's such a beautiful place and it's a deeply esoteric place. The Abbey, Bath Abbey, is on a mound surrounded by water. Anyone into earth energies and ley lines and the power of the earth will know what that means. And it's also the place where King Edgar, the first ever All King of England, was crowned in AD, I think, 973. So the energy of this place is incredible, and I think will be even lending itself to the amazing speakers and delegates and guests like yourself that are here throughout this weekend. It's going to be amazing.
No, it's a stunning city. We comment. I saw Rick Munn outside the venue when I arrived, and he was just like blown away by how beautiful this place is. Everybody is. It's the first time. Whenever your first time coming to Bath, it's always a wow.
Absolutely, but it's not just the visuals, which are stunning. You feel like you're in a movie set. It's what's behind the visuals. It's the energy of the place, the Aquasulis. The Romans knew what they were doing when they came here. They really did. They didn't mess about. Their dowsers and their druids, they were working hard. They were working overtime.
Just like us. Where's the champers?
And you've been working overtime, Mike.
I have.
You've done a few frequent flyer miles, haven't you?
Yes, Emirates is a plug for them. Don't tell the boss. Hang on.
Could be a sponsor.
What a great idea. Always one to make the most of an opportunity. No, we have been doing some fantastic things. The trip here was long, but it was fantastic. Bath is fantastic. What TNT Radio is doing at the moment is, I think, pretty fantastic. And it's hard work, head down, roll up your sleeves. But I think we're doing okay. And a long way to go, but I think we'll do some good stuff. But I'm surrounded as either side. We have, what is the weather, by the way?
Gemma? Weather. Well, as a former weather presenter, it's an old hat that I have no wish to put back on. But as a former weather presenter, I can confidently say and paraphrase a show that many, many people in the UK will be absolutely familiar with, the Fast Show. I'm showing my age here. But it's if I use the word scorchio, what's the weather? Scorchio. Everyone over the age of 45 will know exactly what I'm talking about in England. And you said earlier, this must be an Australian thing. It's gold. It's gold. Is that a thing in Australia where it's sunny, it's sunny, it's gold, it's gold?
Yeah, blooming hot. No, it's terrible. I'm sounding like Crocodile Dundee. And that's old. Now we just say it's hot.
Well, it's sizzling hot. It's hot all weekend and it's sizzling and it's beautiful. It's blue skies, really.
But what is hot for you besides Patrick?
Easy, Tiger.
Well, centigrade or Fahrenheit? I mean, I suppose for me, 22, 23 degrees centigrade, that's enough. I'm a very
really?
Yeah, I think so.
That's cold.
It's enough for, I'm a Brit chick, you know.
You don't understand, Mike. I explained this to our listeners the other day. The reason Britain conquered the world, you know, the sun never sets, because the weather here is so bad that you have nothing else to do but sit indoors, plot and plan to conquer the planet. And they did. So, you know, you don't have that sort of motivation in Africa or, you know, the tropics,
but
right?
Here's the funny thing. Because you're an American, sort of an American or Brit American.
Transatlantic. I'm trans.
You're trans. Well, anyway, as a new
identity. I could have a stripe on the flag now. I want my stripe.
What color would that be?
I don't know. We'll work it out. We're inclusive. There's room for everybody.
Yeah, that's whatever color you want to be. I mean, the flag.
Not gender, but color. Yeah.
But the funny thing was, I mean, and we pay homage to, you know, to the Brits for this, because, you know, my ancestors stole potatoes. And they said, you are such terrible, terrible, terrible people. We're going to send you to a place that has great beaches and sunshine and just a gorgeous way of living, and that's your punishment. And you look back as you're sailing out with Captain Cook and you see rain, clouds, and you think, they got that wrong. And you did. And that's why we're, you know, Australians are such 90% is all made up and 10% is the truth.
you departed from Plymouth. I live in Plymouth, and that's the beginning of Australia.
It is?
Yeah.
But it's just bizarre. But I think the world is such a small place at the moment, and we have so many challenges ahead. And, I mean, I look at the British government, the Australian government, the US government, and all the ramping up. And I think, in my opinion, I think August is going to be a bit of a turning point for the world, because they have the Special Digital Services Act, I think it's called, in Europe, which has the ramifications of not just controlling those doing business in Europe. Also, throughout the entire company, you have to address those issues that are allowing you to do business in Europe. So the whole company has got to follow the lead, but also the suppliers have got to do the same. And so, in effect, you go back 400 years or 500 years, that's where Europe ruled the world. And that's what they will do, because if you don't follow what they want, you're going to have to then, careful of your microphone, you're going to find that you can't do business in Europe. You can't do business in Europe. Big companies such as, in our case, Google and these places, they're going to follow and do exactly as you're told to do. And so it means that across the board, they're going to try and shut down the town square, the town square being the internet, and they will do it. I think with Ofcom and in Australia with ACMA and the US with the federal government, I think you're going to find that the entire world, starting from August, is going to start to wind back with free speech. And I think, and Mark Stein said, this is the great challenge at the moment. This is our greatest threat. Because once they shut down the town square, you know, as we'd say in Australia, you're stuffed, because you can't get the truth out. So no matter all this talk about COVID and talk about this and, you know, Russia and all this, you can't talk about it because it's stopped. They will stop you talking about the truth. And I think that's our great challenge, this great war coming towards us in August.
Sammy Stott, they called it. We're going to build the underground media.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's one of the most important things about this weekend that we're having. It showed last year. I mean, the event sold out for in-person tickets in record time, as it has done this year. There are still virtual online passes available, but the appetite for people gathering face-to-face, heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, and having these conversations, because people know. People aren't stupid. I mean, people know this is coming. The war on free speech has started 3 years ago. Well, it started before that. It started in 2018, you know, the big censorship, you know, alternative media. But people are very aware of that, and you can't beat people coming together like we are this weekend in Bath with hundreds of delegates and more than 50 speakers from all over the world who've traveled and given up their time. It's because once you create that body of people coming together, you create something separate again, which is the energy that those people have generated which then spreads out through the world. Exactly what you're doing with TNT. You know, you're bringing people together, Mike. It's absolute genius what you've done with this station. You've hardly met many of your presenters face-to-face, but you are today with sitting here with Patrick. But you're bringing people together in all these different countries, and the energy you're creating spreads out, just like the Better Way Conference. It spreads out. But people meeting up, especially people meeting up in very high-energy places like this, that's what we are going to need to do. So we need to make our connections now, swap information and energy now, make friendships now, because they're sorely going to be needed in the next 2 to 3 years. That's what I believe anyway.
Gemma, give us in, because we're going to go to break in a second, but give us the Better Way Conference pitch in a nutshell for our listeners.
In a nutshell, I mean, we've got 8 conversations which range from everything from big pharma to real health, from electrosmog to nature's frequencies, from thought control to free mind control. There are eight conversations with around 8 panelists and hosts that really dive deep into the themes that the last 3 years have sprung up. Last year, the conference was very much a reaction to lockdown and people thinking, what the hell has been going on over the last 2 years? This is now much more solutions focused, and we're looking at every single topic that has been brought to the surface really over the last 3 years and that people have woken up to. So it's very much away actually from the COVID narrative and looking forward to things like digital influence over our lives, 15-minute cities, and not just that, lots and lots and lots of different things. It's all on our website, betterwayconference.org, and people can dip in and out virtually whenever they want for a very small price. It's an exploration of where we go from here, and it's definitely not a fear-based event. It's a solution focused event, and all opinions are welcome, and it's to create debate. And we have the most amazing MC, Neil Oliver, who we're absolutely delighted to have on board, who's going to host the thing and thread it all together and bring his own unique style. And I know he's extremely popular, and that he will set the tone for the event. And then it's about everyone, not just the speakers, it's about the delegates, it's about the conversations that I had in the breaks, it's about going out and having a drink with someone you've only just met and sat next to, but think, I really like you, I get on with you, let's swap numbers. It's about all of it, really.
And who? Which speaker are you looking forward to seeing? Like, I know there's a lot.
Oh my goodness! So, now that is such
who's
a
the
question.
One? Who's the one? Who's the one where you say, oh, God, really?
They're all your favorite.
They're all You know what? There we go. What an absolute politician you are! No wonder you're.
I love them all.
It's Hello. Difficult sometimes as well. It's people that you think, well, I'm not so interested in this conversation, but I'll dip in, and suddenly somebody says something, and it blows your mind. I will give someone a shout out because he's a personal friend. And since I've been involved in the alternative scene for nearly 10 years now, he's one of the first people I ever saw speak, and he blew my head off. And if he's listening, I have to say it, Mark Devlin. I really admire him. We get on really well. We've been at lots of events together. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with Mark. And he's doing a little DJ set in the main arena on Saturday night, because that's his old life, if you were, DJ and broadcaster. And he's going to do a nice, positive, conscious, uplifting set of music on Saturday evening here in the Apex Hotel. And we're all really looking forward to that.
What happened to the 70s? I mean, I got my flares. And Patrick's got flares.
You got flares in the 70s.
They're packed away.
he wears them all the time.
I'm sure he'll be rocking some funk. He's a good DJ, you know. Let's get down on the dance floor, Mike.
No, I can't dance.
So we're here with Mike Ryan from TNT Radio and also Gemma Cooper with the Better Way Conference. Look, we're going to take a break here at TNT Today's News Talk. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen. Stick around. We'll be right back. We'll also connect our roving correspondent for culture and sport, Basil Valentine, on the other side. Stay right there.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
How come these people are never far from each other? A lot is being made of connections of dodgy people. Talk about, you know, Charles's affiliation with Jimmy Savile for 30-odd years. His great-uncle, I think, Louis Mountbatten, his mentor, was a very disgusting character. His brother, Prince Andrew, has his own skeletons in the closet. Seen a picture this morning of Charles grinning and grimacing with Philip Schofield, who was also pictured beside someone called Fern Cotton, another TV female wannabe. She was a girlfriend of a chap called Ian Watkins, a singer for a band from Wales who was jailed for attempted rape of a baby. She's went to ground as well. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is this. These people seem to operate in circles where they're all either practicing or linked to people that are practicing wicked things. And that's not just hearsay. These are things that people have been convicted for and people have been found out for. So I'm not casting aspersions on Fern Cotton or whoever she happens to be. I'm just saying it's odd.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places, magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
We didn't come down the last shower, but we are coming to you from Bath in the UK. Live from the Better Way Conference 2023. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Patrick Henningsen and TNT.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Hour number one. We're still here. We're at the Better Way Conference in Bath, broadcasting to you live and direct. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen. In studio today, we got our mobile pop-up studio, the amazing TNT mobile pop-up rig anywhere. It's the world's smallest nightclub. I'm here with Mike Ryan,
Disco Duck,
the man behind Asia Pacific Report, and also Gemma Cooper from the World Health Alliance,
World Council for Health, and the Better Way Conference.
World Council for Health. There's so many of these organizations. Right, I can't keep up with them. So Gemma, looking forward to an amazing event. When do the festivities or kick off, and then when do the speakers begin?
Well, tonight we have a big networking event, which is our gala dinner, which is sold out. And we've got hundreds of people are coming to that to see guest presentations from Dr. Pierre Corey, among other people. And then tomorrow the event starts officially, if you like. We've got workshops in the morning, and then the actual presentations start on Friday afternoon. And that starts our 8 panel discussions, which I outlined earlier. The first one actually is from Big Pharma to... it's gone out of my head now. Anyway, they're all good. It doesn't even matter. Go on our website, betterwayconference.org, and all of the conversations are outlined there. 8 panelists, guest hosts, MC Neil Oliver, talking about a range of subjects that have been really highlighted and that people have woken up to over the last 3 years. We don't really like the term the Great Awakening because it implies a big amorphous event, but it's people that have woken up bit by bit, politically, socially, emotionally, spiritually. The conversations will address all of those issues and provide solutions. So,
I have to admit, Mike, I was a little bit trepidatious about coming here because, you know, all these unjabbed people in one place. I have a new N95 with a respirator on. It's a beautiful mask. And I was thinking about, should I pack it? Should I take it just in case? Because
no.
Just to be safe.
No.
Well, even if you had, you know, Patrick, you would still be welcome. We welcome everyone. We welcome all opinions at the World Council for Health and here at Better Way. We welcome all debate. We wouldn't turn someone away, I don't think. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it's about having conversations, even if it is from... But, you know, it's about encouraging people to come together. It's not about separation. It's not about division. It really... So if you had decided to go down that road, you would have been welcome.
I'm pulling your leg.
I know, but I want to make that point. It's about
all welcome. Yeah, no, look, some of the biggest evangelists are people who did get kind of bamboozled by the whole thing and then when they realize the light went off, and then they're exactly. they're the biggest evangelists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear a mask. I mean, sociably, I used to wear a mask, but just with the boots and the whip. But that's yeah. That was it. Wasn't
that's called cosplay, Mike? What are you talking about?
Sorry,
not that mask.
That's a whole other show, I think.
not that mask. I say, yeah, that's a whole other network. Jesus.
I like to share. I'm open. There are no secrets. We tell the truth. That sort of stuff. But I have to say, this is an amazing event. The location is just as we talked about before, fantastic. And I think the message coming out of here is just, I mean. Always used a lot, but it is about hope and our future. But I'm a negative person too, and I think we're in a very, very bad spot in the world. I think we're going to, as I said, I think August onwards, governments are ramping it up. And Hvore Morić, who works for TNT Radio, and he and I are very, very miserable together. But he also believes that the world is going to go through a lot more worse times. We're going to have some really bad events, and you know the what's happened over the last 2 years isn't going to be pushed away. It's they don't just give in like the Romans and being in Bath. They didn't just give in; they kept going forward and forward until they just fell apart. I think what we have to do, we have to just keep going forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward. And I think, again, it's going to be a very, very unpleasant time for the next 3 years, 4 years. What happens? You know, if they get power in certain areas of our lives, how do they give that up? They don't give it up. They get stronger. And the creep becomes like a tsunami of oppression.
But the thing is, the truth is like water. It finds its way through the porous paths and eventually makes its way to where it needs to flow. And this is the thing, you know, we've got to continue to be, resourceful, innovative, adaptive, all of these things.
Got to be strong.
And I also think as well, it's very important not to get too bogged down in, I understand where you're coming from, Mike, and I do get that. But if you focus on that energetically, you kind of create it as well. So you have to be careful of thinking, well, it's going to be the next 4 years are going to be terrible, or from August onwards it's going to be terrible. But if you think, well, actually, no, I don't think it is going to be terrible. We do have much more power within us as human beings than we realize. Every single cell in our body has an energetic charge. And if you tap into that energetic charge, you've got the power of a nuclear bomb inside a human body. That's what the yogis have been talking about for thousands of years. And so if you focus that power on, oh, it's all going to be bad. And human beings are naturally hardwired to the negative because it protects us. But also you do have to think as well, it might all be bad, but also if we just keep trying to go the other way a little bit, positive, 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 like this weekend, it's much, very much solution focused, because I'm not criticizing you in any way. I wouldn't dream of it. Your opinion
you're
is
very complete. Welcome.
No.
It's a blag though, Gemma. It's a blag. He's like the Hustler.
That's right.
He's like Paul Newman in the Hustler. It's a blag.
He's a Hustler.
It's a blag.
Negative energy. But
he's ready to do a double suplex. Slam him down on the ring floor.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's important to go, well, actually, no. It might not be like that. If we are more powerful than we are taught to believe from the age of, what, 4 or 5, when we're put in school and we're told to sit down, shut up, listen to the teacher, wait for the bell, can't go to the toilet. Mm-hmm. Or we're just taught to be little me, but we're not. We're not. And you know that, Mike. Look at what you've achieved with TNT. You know that, Patrick. You've interviewed some of the most amazing people, you know, in the world on the alternative scene. And this weekend is about that. The Better Way Conference is about that. It's about harnessing positive energy and moving forward from it. So even if there's a prediction that things might be going a little bit wrong, we have the power to say, well, no, actually, we're going to change it.
Well, I think it's just, I believe the world is in for a fairly traumatic time for the next few years. Doesn't mean you have to back down. And you talk about people being strong and, you know, within. I look at Australia. I look at the UK. I look at other countries. If you were right, then you wouldn't have had most of the country's populations getting the vaccine, bad word, the jibby jab. They all did without question. So even though you are right, I think the awakening is not going to, it's not going to happen. I don't think it will happen. I think there's people listening right now are on our page. What we have to do is forget our page and get onto another page. And I think that's why I say we're in for a bad trot, because you look at the what happened with the vaccines and government lockdowns and stuff. Everybody was unhappy about it, but no one did anything about it. It just rolled on. It just came on. You couldn't go out. You couldn't see your dying mother. You had all sorts of oppressive mandates from governments. And we, the people, didn't do enough. They sat back and said, we trust the government. So unless we're awakened and we all collectively fight together for a better world, it's not going to happen. I just do not believe it will happen. I think people don't know how to make it happen. So I agree with that. We can all do something. Everybody can do something really big in their life. Most don't. They follow the leader. They follow the government. Government is trusted. Doctors are trusted.
I can't speak for Australia. I can't speak for America, Patrick, but I can certainly speak for the UK. That so many people I know loads of people, I got a lot of friends, I move in lots of different circles, and people that maybe 3 years ago thought that I was insane for speaking out and walking away from my very mainstream career at the BBC are now coming up to me and going, Gem, you were right. I was in the hairdressers the other week, and someone sitting next to me was talking about 15-minute cities and central digital banking currencies, and I was like, mate, you're my new best friend, call me every day. And he's like, no, there's loads of people that think like us, and there are loads of people that think like us, and now people are coming out and having the courage to say it. I was in a pub in Wales in the heart of nowhere, waterfall country, and I was up at the and everyone's speaking Welsh, and I didn't speak Welsh, and this woman came up to the bar, and she said, you do take cash, don't you? Excuse my bad Welsh accent.
That's terrible.
The guy behind the bar said, yeah, we take cash. She was going, cash is king, love, cash is king. You don't use it, it's going to be gone, isn't it? And then she went to this whole lecture in a rural pub in the middle of Wales, where nobody was, about cash and the banks and everything. And I turned to her and I said, darling, you're speaking my language. Gave each other a high five. She was going, keep on keeping on, love. And I was thinking, this would never have happened 3 years.
But how many were in the pub?
20.
So there's two that agreed,
vocally had the courage to agree with each other. But I thought the barman agreed, but he's got a job. You could see in his eyes, he had the glimmer.
But again, see, what I'm saying is right. Out of the 22, you and the other lady agreed on the same same thing, but what happened was, though, 18 didn't.
Well, you don't know that they didn't. You don't know they weren't listening, going, yes, silently. They weren't going, yeah.
No, but if you do something silently, it's achieving nothing. You have to become, as you said before, this reactor, this like an atomic bomb. You got to start fighting for things. They didn't do it. They let you two have a conversation, and the other 18 went on as if nothing had happened.
But it might have given them that courage to have that conversation 5 days later. We can't expect everyone to wake up exactly the same time. You can't expect everyone to be on the same page exactly the same time. Andrew Bridgen, who's one of our panelists this weekend, he's come under quite a lot of flack because he spoke out later about the vaccines here in the UK Parliament. He lost the whip, he lost his seat, everything. And people were criticising him for saying, well, why didn't you speak out 2 years ago? But that's like saying, well, you're a bit late to the party. Well, at least you're at the party.
Exactly.
At least you're here, at least you walk through the door. And if everyone was, I woke up 10 years ago through yoga and meditation. It was nothing socio-political, nothing like that. And I woke up, and then people I'd met woke up 30 years before me. Did they ever go at me saying, oh, you should have woke up 30 years ago? No, they welcomed me into the fold and said, welcome aboard. You've exited the matrix. We're glad to have you here. That's how we need to be. We can't all be saying, oh, you're not awake yet, so go away, and we don't want you, because we do want you. Wherever you wake up, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we do want you.
Gemma, be careful. We have a lot of Welsh people in the TNT chat room. I happen to have a good contingent of Welsh
Sorry about the accent.
Listeners, and they say that it's not bad, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So if you're in the TNT chat room and you're Welsh, I know you guys in there. Rate a scale of 1 to 5, Gemma's Welsh accent. But look, we're going to go to break in a couple of minutes. Mike, do you have any jet lag from this journey? How long was your journey?
It was 48 hours. But, the ship was very slow, Captain Cook. No, it was 48 hours. Normally it takes 24. It's a good flight normally. A lot of movies and stuff. So, no, not much jet lag, just tired. But my business partner, can I just mention Jen? She is one of the great motivational forces that I've met for a long time. So when I'm away, Jen, being equal partner, does the other stuff, and I sit on the plane and drink cocktails, and it's a terrible life. But I still, I mean, I have to go back. I mean, and I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being realistic. I have to say, I really disagree that people are changing or are, you know, seeing the light, because I still go back to that pub that, and you said they'll, you know, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, but in 5 years or 10 years, if we don't do something before then, 5 years or 10 years, we're knackered, we're finished, because they take it, it's no longer this creep, it's like a tsunami. Once you take away the free speech, if I want to say something, so if I want to say that this is happening, look at the UK now, the jailing, you know, charging journalists with terrorist acts. So if I want to say John Smith is a bad person, or the Prime Minister of England is a bad person, I can't. I can't tell anybody anything because I have been shut down. And what they will tell you is that either the Prime Minister is an okay sort of person or a great person. And you can't, you won't know that what they're saying is a lie. And that's the get back to August with the Digital Services Act from Europe. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start shutting down fact, the truth, reality, and they will replace it like they do in the war in Russia or in Ukraine, the proxy war. And it's, you know, bad Russia, bad Russia, bad Russia, bad Russia. It's not bad Russia. Probably bad politicians, bad criminals, and so forth. And what we hear and what we read is just purely the information operation. And in fact, the company that runs it is a company that's in the UK. And our, one of our guys, George Eliason, often gets calls from this guy. George is in Donbass. And this guy says, I know where you are. I'm going to come and get you one day. So, we, yeah, so all these things, but no, no one knows this. No one, you just read the paper, you watch, you know, turn on ITV or the BBC, and you hear this crap. And it is crap. And so unless we can get the truth out, 5 years' time or 10 years' time, I think we're in deep, deep trouble. And I think people like ourselves, Patrick, for talking about the truth. I mean, Patrick, do you feel uncomfortable with the future?
I don't. I try not to think about it.
But if you, but yeah, if you had to say, if you sat back one day and you said, okay, I want to think about what's going to happen in 5 years' time or 2 years' time or what's happening in 12 months' time. Journalists are being charged with terrorist acts.
Yeah. No, look, I put it into perspective because I've been to places in the world where people's future has been completely snuffed out already. So I consider where we're at still okay. You know, it's like you're talking about whole cities flattened in Iraq and stuff like that. And you know, they've already done the apocalypse. And, you know, we're worried about what's down the road. So from that point of view, I think, okay, well, you know, as long as you're fighting and you're up on your feet and you're going, that's it. So let's try to bring Basil Valentine back in on the call. Just got a note from a producer. He says he's all right, good to go. Is Basil there?
I hope so. Can you hear me, Patrick?
Yeah, loud and clear, Mr. Valentine. How are you doing?
Very well. Good to be with you. And hello, listeners all around the world. I want to just pick up quickly on what your interlocutor was saying there, which is that with regards to the future, it's up to us, and optimism is a choice. It's a simple, we can either choose to be optimistic about the future at this point in the history of humanity on this planet, or we can choose to be pessimistic. And if we choose to be optimistic, we stand a much better chance of creating the kind of world we want to live in. It's as simple as that. Applied spiritual optimism, but nevertheless, by no means neglecting the reality of the situation in which we live. Now, the fundamental free speech issue that he was talking about is absolutely crucial. Obviously, I believe you covered the detention of Kit Clarenberg at Luton Airport.
Yeah, we were just we're alluding to that. Yeah.
Well, absolutely disgraceful. I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary overreach by the UK national security state, and of course extremely depressing that the legacy media didn't pick up on it. There was a time when the likes of The Guardian or The Independent might have reported on something like that. We have to continue to stand our ground at every opportunity. We have outlets like this one I'm speaking to you on at the moment. We need more with this wonderful event that you're all at this weekend. I'm only very sorry I can't be there. Very much, you know, to be applauded. And you can't wake up, as it were, other people. You know, you can't just sort of, you know, ordinary people in the street, shake them and say, hey, do you realize we're heading for a global fascist nightmare? Unless you, you know, we have to respect the fact that everybody is on their own intellectual, psycho-spiritual journey, call it what you like, and not everybody is going to make it, as it were, in this lifetime. Not everybody is going to be as awakened as we would like to see them. But nevertheless, as the lady who was speaking earlier, who's helping organize the conference, pointed out, an awful lot more people are aware of the fact that there's something fundamentally wrong with the picture of reality as presented to us as grown adults in the third decade of the 21st century, and are looking for answers, are looking for alternatives. Now, at the risk of getting too esoteric on you, I'm given to believe that we may see something of a parting of the ways in the years and months ahead, that we may see sort of people disappearing out of our reality, out of our immediate field, who are not on the same wavelength, so to speak, and two very different futures emerging. What's that going to look like? Well, nobody knows, because it's never happened before. But we're not all going to get dragged into the black hole and just be, you know, Metatronic, robotized slaves of some nefarious dark cabal for the rest of this and all future lives. Not for me, anyway. That's not my chosen path.
Well, I just, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just hit on something there, Basil, that I was thinking about when Mike was talking, when he's saying we haven't got 5 years, we haven't got 10 years. And I did think, actually, he's absolutely right on that count, because of the relentless technocratic agenda that is upon us, where you look around and everything is QR codes and everything is digital and everything is online and everything is interfaced with the computer. And that is how they are going to infiltrate the human, the thing I was talking about, which is our innate human connection to the universe. We are the eyes and ears of the universe, but they want to hack into it. And that's why we haven't got 5 to 10 years, Mike, as you quite rightly say. It's this. And one of the conversations that we're having in the Better Way conference over the weekend, which I'm hosting, which is from electro-smog to nature's frequencies, back to nature's frequencies, is how do we escape this relentless 5G rollout of military-grade technology, which is essentially hacking into the human interface, because that's what will stop us having 5 years. That's what will stop us having 10 years. That will stop anyone waking up, because the kids now, they live on these things, don't they? They live on these devices. That's what Basil was alluding to, this Metatronic technological thing. That's what they want from us. And that's why I do definitely agree with you on that. The speed is of the essence, actually, in this thing.
Basil, do you, I've just got to ask you about, you said there's the optimistic and the pessimistic. And I would probably put myself into the realistic, which you'd probably call us the pessimistic. Do you think that... there are two, I mean, truly, I mean, the optimistic, and we're here for that, for optimism and hope. But I look at it, you know, a spade is a spade and a shovel is a shovel. And the truth is a truth. And I think what we have at the moment is this obliteration, and I can see it, this of the truth of hope. And I think, sure, the conference is great for that, but I think realistically speaking, if they want to do something, they're going to do it, and they are now. So how do you fight that, Basil? How do you marshal enough support to stop that? Because I can't see, and I'll be honest here, I cannot see that we're going to stop it. We can fight it, but how do we stop it?
Well, you know, it's a very good question, and at the risk of just chucking out a few old cliches like we have to stand in our power and that sort of thing, of course, at the moment, they, in inverted commas, have their hands on the levers, most importantly, of media at the moment, which is what's dictating the agenda. Having said that, more and more people are aware of the fact now that they are heavily propagandized. by our legacy media, by the corporate media, and we should do everything we should to, you know, foster independent media, freedom of speech, all these things. We've got to keep putting energy into these things in as many different directions as possible. And, you know, it will, the things that will start to bear fruit. I mean, your event up in Bath this weekend, completely sold out, didn't exist 5 years ago. The station that we're talking on now, thousands of listeners now, growing every week, didn't exist even 12 or 18 months ago, whatever it was. So you know, this is the point about being optimistic. We have to build on what we've got. We have to build alliances with other like-minded people. We have to band together. And I believe you've got a special message from Robert Kennedy, that the core of his campaigns to be, seems to be focusing on what unites us and not what divides us. And the way, you know, one of the problems with all sort of alternative groups, radical agendas of one sort or another over the decades, and the reason why in some ways the world still is as it is the extent to which we've allowed ourselves to be divided and therefore ruled. You know, it's the oldest trick in the book, divide and rule. Set people against each other, create lots of victimizer blame games, and everybody ends up, you know, like fighting like cats in a bag. So we've got to, you know, band together in unity and in positivity and with a sense, with a clear sense that that we can and we will win. I mean, you know, people say this is like some sort of weird real life version of Lord of the Rings or something. And, you know, they won in the end, even though it looked like Saruman had all the cards at one point. And that's exactly the same mentality that we should have. We're not going to be defeated.
Just on that Lord of the Rings metaphor, how apt, Basil. It reminds me of the last scene, the 2020 election, the last scene where all the ghosts came over the ridge, all the ghost warriors. That's Biden. Those were all Biden's voters coming over at 3 a.m. Not alive, but yeah.
Actually, the ghost joined up with the king and the forces of good after he removed their curse. But I take your point.
Yeah, no, that's the ending we want, Basil. That's the ending we want. But listen, yeah. We got a couple more minutes left. I think we just steamrolled through the second break there, but that's okay because we're amongst friends. And Clive,
boss,
I just like I'm sitting here talking to my, and then Clive DeCarl is just walking by, and this is like the kind of great event you have where you're just meeting all these wonderful people.
Clive DeCarl, absolutely amazing man, and has achieved so much in the field of health and wellness and well-being, and has such an amazing following. Like you say, just walked casually past the studio door. First of many guests over the weekend. That, you know, he's one of more than 50 speakers we've got flying in from all over the world. We've got health professionals, we've got activists, we've got journalists, we've got campaigners. And just going back to what Basil said, you know, that this event wasn't around 5 years ago. It wasn't even around a year and 2 months ago. You know, it's, this event is a year old, and the absolutely amazing global reaction that the World Council for Health and Better Way Conference have generated shows that there is this massive need for what we're providing. Exactly the same as TNT. You know, you weren't around, what, 18 months, 2 years ago, and suddenly you've got tens of thousands of listeners. It's going to be hundreds of thousands extremely soon. It's because people are desperate to have these focal points in these events where they can hear and listen to and feel energized by like-minded people. So I have no doubt whatsoever that I'm optimistic. I've always been optimistic. I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, actually, but it stood me in good stead in my life, especially the more challenging times. You have always got to think it's always going to be okay, because then it is. It kind of just is. If you think that, then it is.
Yes, it's really worth remembering, too, that these dastardly schemes require minions to implement them. You know, they require the cooperation of lots of sort of semi-droid people. But very often those people simply can't be bothered to follow through on whatever sort of officious or pernicious form of repression that they are being instructed to carry out, you know? We shouldn't think that the forces of oppression are anything as like as powerful as we sometimes give them credit for being. They're actually terrified of us, because we are the many and they are the few. And if we don't give any kind of credence to their false structures, then they inevitably dissolve.
Well put, Basil, well put. Mike, on the Australian front, like I saw a news clip the other day, and I was like, Dan Andrews is still running around in public. Like, how did that happen? Like, I thought he would have just, like, totally absconded, like so many others that have left the scene.
Mark McClown, he's gone because people said bad things about him. But it goes back to what we were saying before. Dan Andrews won the last election very comfortably in Victoria, where they roam free, not. Dan Andrews is loved by Victorians. The whole state, minus a few, love Dan Andrews. Now, how could you, again, I go right back, if you're looking for between hope and reality. Reality says that Dan Andrews is really loved by all of Victoria. There is a group that don't like him because of what he's done. Hope would say that we hope I'm wrong in saying that, and we're not wrong. So how can Dan Andrews be, as Patrick alluded to, be walking around free, still in power, and doing exactly as he wants to do, whether it's health, budgets, the police, which are a disgrace under Dan Andrews? How can that man, how can that police commissioner, how can the treasurer be in power if what you're saying is right? Reality says that the people will follow the government's direction, such as Dan Andrews. He's a terrible, terrible, terrible man. He's probably almost entirely evil in some way. So how can Dan Andrews be in power now if people are seeing the light? He increased his popularity in the last election. He can do what he likes. How can he do that if people are seeing the light?
I totally get where you're coming from, because people feel exactly the same way about politicians in this country. It's almost like we're conditioned to believe, in whatever country we are in the world, whether it's America, Australia, or UK, that that's just politicians. Everyone knows what they're like. And you accept it. And I don't know where that comes from. Is it because it comes from something deep in childhood programming, again, the school and education system, where you just kind of accept that people in authority are a bit kind of weird? I mean, I went to school in the 1980s in England, and my school was chock-a-block full of paedophile teachers. I mean, I could do a whole show. You know, they're all dead now, but God knows I've got some horror stories about my comprehensive school. But it's just like, well, that's what they're like. So people are like, well, that's what Dan Andrews is like. He's a politician. That's what they're all like. That's what Boris Johnson's like. That's what Matt Hancock is like. Why do you think it's any different? You know, that's what Trump is like. That's what Biden is like. I don't want to get into the whole Trump thing at all, but I'm just casting names because people think that's what politicians are like. So something in our psyche, very deep, is accepting of that bad behavior in figures of authority so that they can get away with it. It's programmed into us to enable them, the narcissists and the psychopaths, to get away with it. They gaslight us.
Do you think, though, our moral compass, we haven't got that moral compass anymore? We used to have a moral compass, whether it was from religion or from your parents deciding, you know, in what direction you moved or grew up towards. So therefore, if we have got the moral compass, if the religious, whether you believe in religion or not, or in God or not, it gave us that moral compass. And I'm not religious by any stretch. I mean, I have to ask for special favours if I'm going to pass up through those pearly gates. I mean, I'm probably shot with spending it with Patrick, I think, in those hot rocks. But I'm just thinking, where is our moral compass? Because if we had that moral compass, along with that comes a bit of backbone, a bit of concrete in the spine, that happens because we know what is right and what is wrong. Dan Andrews is entirely wrong. He is probably close to evil more than people realise. But he's still the most popular premier or governor, for the Americans, in Australia. And he is ruling that state how he wants, and the people are letting him do it. So that's why I think, between hope and pessimism or hope and reality.
Well, I mean, we've hit upon something that's not just Australia, the UK and...
it's global.
United States as well, which is a tremendous democratic deficit in as much as the people in power do not represent the collective voice of their constituents. Certainly all the major Western powers now have a sort of entirely self-serving oligarchical political class who, by virtue of structures they've managed to create and the revenue they raise, become self-perpetuating. I mean, I think it's in the United States, 95% of all congressional seats are won by the person who raises the most money. And of those, 90% are the incumbent, you know. So this whole thing has become completely, you know, the term democracy has become completely devalued. And that's a major problem. I agree. In this country, there's very little we can do about it because of the first past the post system. You've now got Reform, Reclaim, some of these new parties, which are popular outgrowths of this dissatisfaction. But winning seats in Westminster is incredibly difficult and expensive. In Italy, although I certainly don't agree with everything she says, far from it. Nevertheless, Gina Meloni has been elected prime minister because they have proportional representation, and therefore new parties can emerge. And if their message is popular, they will garner a lot of support, so long as they're not completely demonized, ostracized, or ignored by the legacy media. So it is very much a sort of country-to-country thing. You know, you've got the two-headed snake in the United States, which is, you know, a full court press, really, which, you know, between the Democrats and Republicans, obviously. But the slightly odd system does allow mavericks like Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy to run for office. In the United Kingdom, it's even more of a dog and pony show, really, with our leaders very much sort of groomed and installed before they get the top job. But, you know, these are very, very serious structural issues which are going to take an awful lot of fixing. They are amongst the biggest problems that we've got, certainly in the West, because, as I say, this self-serving oligarchy, which intersects with the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, all the various other supranational oligarchical organizations and groups, it's all very, very well entrenched. And it despises populism. It absolutely despises the will of the people, if not the people themselves. But, you know, it's up to us to organize and take counteractive measures.
We're coming up to the top of the hour here, and that's Basil Valentine, a roving correspondent for Culture and Sport. Gemma, do you want to send us off here for the hour? Because I know you got to go to work.
Well, it's just, I think maybe I might stick around for the top of the second half of the hour, because what I'm about to get into is a bit deep.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. A deep dive. When I said deep dive to Rick Munn for the first time, he didn't know what I was talking about.
He doesn't normally know what you're talking about.
No, he doesn't.
What anybody else is talking about.
His dives are deeper than mine now, so it's just like...
You know, we're actually going to have a translation for Rick.
Speaking of accents, Gemma's Welsh accent gets three out of five. And I think one of them says, my Welsh accent sounds like it's Pakistani. Okay, that's interesting.
I can do it again, but I don't want to take the mickey out.
Come on, one more time. Come on, just one more.
No, we're going to.
No, let's go to the break.
We're going to the break in a minute. Thank you. A big thank you to Basil Valentine, a roving correspondent to Culture and Sport. Of course, Basil, you're welcome to stay on the line if you want to stay over in the second hour. And I'm here with Mike Ryan from TNT. And it's Mike Ryan from TNT Radio's in the house as well, and Gemma Cooper from the Better Way Conference. Look, we'll probably break in a minute, but yeah, it's been a really good first hour. Next hour, we're going to be hopefully connecting with Dr. Meryl Nass from Children's Health Defense, and I got a lot of questions for her, but that will be in the second half hour of the next hour. So we got that and lot more coming up. So you're listening to TNT. Today's News Talk. We're live in Bath, England at the Better Way Conference. So stick around. Top of the hour news headlines coming up. Much, much more on the other side. So stick around.